Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. You know, February is the month of romance. One of the playwrights that is up and coming in Seattle is Kay Lutz. This show is her second published play. It's called Someone Else's Flowers. Be very careful what you steal.
Flowers have long been a symbol of affection and love. As children, we give dandelions to our innocent sweethearts, later for the prom and orchid corsage, and then roses for lovers. In the end, it's lilies for funerals. Visit with us some lovers and their bouquets as we listen to an American Radio Theater original production of Someone Else's Flowers.
Hello again, my dear.
Frederick, it's so good of you to visit. I can't seem to get out much these days.
Oh, Neva, I've missed you.
You're such a dear. But I saw you just yesterday. Can you miss me so much in a day?
It seems forever since we spoke or touched. It's so good to be near you, even if... I love you, Neva.
I've always loved you, Freddy. Don't be silly, dear. I'm not going anywhere. Did you bring me flowers?
Here's your bouquet, my darling. The colors of spring, yellow, pink, white, and blue. Even in autumn, you hold the spring.
How sweet. How I love your little habits. But you know, I wouldn't mind a little variety.
I know how you've always loved flowers on Thursdays.
Yes, Thursday, the day of our engagement party. Everything was so perfect. The night was ours.
The night I proposed.
Of course, yes, when you proposed. I thought you meant the party. You were so sweet, so nervous, but you must have known I'd say yes.
You were so beautiful and had so many suitors. I hoped in my heart that you would say yes, but there was always a shadow of a doubt. Did I truly deserve you?
I did say yes, my dear.
It was the happiest day of this long life.
Of my somewhat shorter life, too.
How I wish things had gone differently, Neva, my darling. You cannot know the sadness and love I feel when I visit.
Oh, but I do, my dearest. I know. I feel the same when I look up at you. Separation is inevitable, and we've always lived in different worlds, you and I. Now, even more so. Ah, Freddy, no tears. We promised only love, happiness, and flowers. No tears.
I know. No tears. You never liked sadness. You filled each day with joy. I confess that joy is hard for me to find. I try.
Smile for me, Freddy. One would think it was you who has your head in the ground.
I try to be happy for you.
That's it. That's it. You know, I do believe it was your smile that first won me. But I can't help but think of your smile with that piece of spinach.
Remember the time when we...
Mr. Westing, I'm afraid it's closing time.
Already? Listen, Keating, would you mind if I stay a minute more? It's Thursday, you understand, and I...
Of course, Mr. Westing. I'll wait by the gate to let you out. Take your time, sir.
You're so sweet.
I must be going, Neva. I cannot believe the time has flown so quickly.
It's all right, Freddy. I'll be here when you come back.
Keating is a good man. I don't want him to get into trouble. Good night, my dearest. I'll be back soon.
Good night, Freddy. I love the flowers. The pink and yellow roses are lovely, and the lilies. But maybe next time, some red roses?
Oh, it's such a lovely evening, Jim. Oh, and it's so good to take a break from studying.
Yeah. And it's even nicer spending time with you, Lisa. I hope you don't think me too forward, but I brought you some flowers.
Oh, Jim, they're absolutely beautiful. Lilies and roses, and these little blue ones are so pretty. They look just like springtime.
I know it's only our second date.
Well, a girl always loves flowers. They make her feel special.
You are special, Lisa Thompson. I'm glad you like them.
Like them? I love them. But, Jim, how could you afford them? I mean, you're pinching every penny to make it through school.
Oh, I have my ways. Ever resourceful, that's me.
You know something? When they dry out, I think I'm going to put one in my diary for today.
Saving dead flowers seems kind of sad.
No, no, it's not sad at all. It's going to be a reminder of how happy I feel tonight. So I wouldn't ever want to let it go. That's why I'm going to keep it, Jim. So I'll remember us forever.
Forever sure sounds like a long time when we're not even finished with our first year at the U.
Well, you know, forever starts right now.
I think I could fall in love with you, Lisa Thompson.
Really? Oh, that's so sweet.
Let's walk down to the stream and then head back. I've got a big test tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, me too. English lit. And I'm not even done rereading Frankenstein. Is yours that math exam?
What a great night. Too bad it's study time.
So, Jimmy, how'd it go with Lisa?
Oh, we had a nice time. Well, I know I did.
Yeah, nice, yeah. Details, I want details, Jimbo. Did you kiss her?
No, I didn't kiss her. It was only the second time we've gone out. And the other day was at the Hub with some friends of hers. Tonight is the first time we've actually been alone together.
Yeah. So what did you do? Anything romantic?
Well, we went for a walk down to the old bridge.
A walk is good. Come on, man, what else?
I gave her flowers.
Flowers? Since when do you have money for flowers?
Oh, I have my sources.
You'll have to share that source with your good old roomie, if I can ever get Karen to go out with me. So you gave Lisa flowers, and you didn't kiss her?
No, we just went for a walk. Didn't even hold hands, if you must know.
You're kidding me. You didn't even touch her?
Bill, could you turn that music down? I've got a test to study for. Bill!
Oh, sorry. I thought you said to turn it up.
Yeah, always the joker. That's Bill Fleming. It's a wonder you have any friends.
I don't. Unless I count you.
You keep on being a jerk, and you won't even have me for a friend.
But Rumi!
But nothing. I've got to hit the books. You might try some studying yourself.
I do study. As a matter of fact, just last night...
Hey, Brenda, you still up?
It's only 10:30, Lisa. I was still...
Ooh, flowers. That's a good sign. I love pink roses and lilies and those little blue delphinium. How pretty.
I know, aren't they just beautiful? Oh, Jim's such a nice guy. We went for a walk down to the old bridge and talked about almost everything. It was refreshing. He's kind of old-fashioned, you know, but in a good way. He's a gentleman. You know, he didn't even act like I owed him anything for the bouquet.
Sounds like he might be a keeper. You might want to add him to your A-list.
I already did.
Of course, he might be gay.
Oh, please.
Well, just saying.
Well, stop just saying. Don't spoil my lovely evening. Jim just doesn't want to rush things.
When will you see him again?
Well, probably next Friday or Saturday. There's a movie we both want to see. Well, I better get these flowers in some water and then go over my notes for tomorrow.
Looks like you got back just in time. It's pouring outside.
Just like I always dream. Safe, warm, and dry with a good friend.
Why, there they are. Why does she have them? They're mine. Mine!
What was that? Brenda, did you hear that voice?
Huh? What? Voice?
Yes, listen.
I don't hear anything, hon. You're just dreaming. Oh, go back to sleep. There's nothing.
Please give them back. They're mine.
There it is again, Brenda. Brenda.
Oh, sleep.
Brenda.
Some some storm last night. Coffee?
Yeah, thanks. I'm surprised you remember anything from last night. You were barely coherent. You know, I could swear I heard something outside the window.
Probably just that tree branch.
No, it was something more, like a voice underneath the rain or something.
Oh, come on. You're not hearing voices, are you? Are you supposed to be taking meds that you're not telling me about?
No, I'm not crazy. But there was something other than the storm. It sounded like a voice, a woman's voice, a really sad woman.
Sorry, didn't hear a thing.
I could have sworn. Huh, that's strange. There's a dried flower on the windowsill.
It's not mine. I don't get flowers, not like some people.
I'm serious, Bran. I didn't put it there. Look, it just crumbled in my fingers when I tried to pick it up. It must have been there for ages.
I don't remember seeing it before. Maybe it just fell off your bouquet?
And dried out so quickly?
Well, there is a radiator under the window.
Yeah, I know, but still, I mean, you'd think it would just be wilted. I mean, this is like powder.
Oh, whatever. I got a class in 10. Gotta run.
Okay, see ya. This old flower must have been here for ages. I wonder why I hadn't noticed it before. Oh, well, doesn't matter. Mary Shelley needs to fill my imagination right now. The test is in less than an hour.
Now look at that. The vase is empty. I could have sworn I brought flowers for you yesterday. Today is Friday, so I must have brought flowers yesterday.
You did, my darling. You didn't forget.
It just doesn't do to forget your flowers.
You didn't forget, my dear. It's just that they lasted only one night.
I'm so sorry, Neva.
Really, it's all right. There will be other flowers, won't there?
I'll make sure you have them next week. I promise. I don't want to be a disappointment to you. Not after...
Something troubling you, Mr. Westing?
Oh, Keating. No. Actually, yes, but I don't think you can help me with my memory.
No, I suppose not. You just seem troubled.
I was just telling Neva that I could have sworn I had given her flowers yesterday. I'll need to keep better track of things. I don't want to disappoint the lady after giving her my promise.
No, sir, that wouldn't do at all.
No, indeed, Keating. Not for my Neva.
You're such a romantic...
I love you, Neva. I'll be back tomorrow. Good evening, Keating.
And to you, sir.
Good night, Freddy.
And next Thursday, I'll remember your bouquet.
Of course you'll remember her bouquet, Mr. Westing. I'm sure Miss Thorndyke will not mind missing your flowers this one time. Goodbye, sir.
So, Lisa, what do you and Jim have planned for tonight?
Oh, we thought we'd just start with a walk and then, I don't know, maybe go to the movies or just get a bite someplace.
Still taking things slow?
Well, a week ago Friday was the first time we went out alone, so that's not so slow.
You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know where your mind goes.
Big night out. Another bouquet and no smooching.
There he is. See you later.
Have fun. This time I'll probably be asleep when you get back.
Again? You have them again? But they're mine! Mine! Mine!
Brenda!
What?
That voice! It's back!
That voice? Oh, go to sleep, Lisa, please!
But Brenda! I heard it again! Oh, never mind. Go back to sleep. You're no help. And I know it's not the tree branch. I'm going to open the window to prove it. Just as I thought, the branch isn't anywhere near the window.
It's... How dare you take my flowers?
What? Oh, a face!
What? Lisa, what's wrong?
I saw her. I heard her voice again, and this time I saw her face. It's beautiful, but ghastly pale. She glared right at me, and then she vanished. But I saw her, Brenda. I saw her.
Oh, Lisa, it's okay. Just your imagination, sweetie. After all, you have been kind of immersed in horror stories all week. It It's okay.
No, it wasn't my imagination. I saw her, I'm telling you, and I heard her voice. She said, "How dare you?" like she was accusing me of something.
I bet you just fell asleep and dreamed you were still awake.
No. I'm sure she was real.
Well, whoever it was, she's gone, isn't she? You don't hear or see anyone now, do you?
No, not anymore. Just you. But she just seems so real.
Just go back to sleep. No more screaming, okay? And close the window. It's freezing. I can see why Jim can afford flowers for you. He must get them from the remainder table just before they wilt. Every blossom is dead.
You know, that's totally weird. They're not wilted. They're powdery dried, just like that one flower last week. Oh, well, I guess it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, yeah. That old nickel-plated excuse.
Oh, Bran, if these are what Jim can afford, it really doesn't matter to me. But you're changing the topic again. Why don't you want to go with me?
You really expect me to go? Even after your screaming dream last night?
It was just a dream, wasn't it? Oh, come on, Bran. It's extra credit for my history of cinema class, and I need every point I can get. I've got to find Neva Thorndike.
That's the weirdest assignment I ever heard. There's actually a famous actress buried in this town?
Well, not exactly famous, I guess, but yeah. And I've got to make a rubbing of the stone. Oh, please come with me.
Oh, like there's nothing I'd rather do than stroll through a graveyard looking for a dead actress.
Well, it'll be like a scavenger hunt.
Not a chance. I really don't... Hey, why isn't Jim going?
Oh, he called. His lab is running late or something. I don't know. Oh, come on, Brenda. I don't want to go alone. What if there's some creep hanging around there?
Take your pepper spray. But I imagine it's pretty dead around there.
Bran?
Nope, sorry, not going. Not to a cemetery, uh-uh.
Wow, I found her. Well, that was easy. Now for the rubbing. I don't understand why they use these markers in the ground rather than headstones. I could be standing up instead of crawling around.
You! What nerve you have coming here!
What?
I have a mind to...
Excuse me, miss. Are you all right?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm fine.
Here, let me help you up.
You're not going anywhere!
Thanks. Just a sec. I seem to be caught on something.
Here, take my hand.
Thanks. It was like my foot is caught in a root or something, but I don't see any... Well, anyway, thank you.
You'll pardon me for interrupting, but when I saw you crawling around on your hands and knees, I thought... Well, I'm not sure what I thought. It's just not something I tend to see here. You're certain you're all right?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm fine, really. Thank you. I was actually looking for this grave.
Yes, quite a famous grave in this town, miss...
Thompson. Lisa Thompson.
Ah, Miss Thompson. You still look shaken.
Well, I was feeling a little odd when I was making the rubbing. Like there was someone right next to me, and then you startled me.
If I may, what is your interest in Miss Thorndike?
Oh, wait, it's for my cinema class. So was she really a big deal?
Miss Thorndike was a local celebrity some years back.
And was she famous?
Not in the fan magazine sort of famous. She wasn't a star, but she played in over a dozen pictures. Never as a leading lady, always in the background. A maid, a gangster's mole. One of my favourites, though, was The Last Night in Chicago. She played a psychic who had visions of a murder.
Oh, did you know her?
Me? No. Oh, I see her in town once in a while, but we never met. Unless you count an autograph.
Well, even so, that's pretty exciting to have a movie actress from your hometown.
Yeah, it was almost magical. Ah, but if you really want to know about Miss Thorndike, here comes the man you should talk to. Mr. Frederick Westin. He and she were quite the item back when engaged to be married. And then it seems such a shame.
Well, and then what?
Well, on the way back from their gala engagement party, there was a terrible car crash and she was killed. Mr. Westin was knocked unconscious, but only had a broken arm for all that. No one knows for sure who was driving, but everyone had been drinking freely at the party. Mr. Westin took all the blame himself.
Oh, that's so sad.
Please, as far as you know, I didn't say anything.
Mr. Westin, I found another fan of Miss Thorndyke's, Lisa Thompson. She was just looking for a headstone.
Always a pleasure to meet one of Neva's fans. Come to pay a call on my Neva, Lisa? You know her films?
Oh, well, I'm just being introduced. I'm taking the history of cinema class.
Of course, of course. I have a hard time thinking of Neva's history. To me, she is still very much alive.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, no offense taken, Lisa. It's merely another shadow on my lovely daydream. I remembered this time, Keating.
I see you have, sir.
Oh, those are lovely flowers, Mr. Weston.
Thank you. They are a special bouquet the florist designed just for me and Neva. The yellow, pink, and blue always remind me of spring. I first gave them to her when I proposed. Since then, I leave her a fresh bouquet each Thursday, don't I, Keating?
Yes, sir, the night of your party.
How romantic. It's strange. Lily's roses and little blue flowers. I could swear they look just like the ones
Joy and tragedy, champagne and blood. There was a terrible accident, Lisa, and Neva...
You lost her that night?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Weston.
But I see her every day, whenever I check the time. Here she is.
Oh, that's... Well, she's so beautiful.
Yes, she is.
And you bring her these lovely flowers?
Every Thursday for 15 years. But if you don't mind, I'd like some time alone with her. Miss Thompson? Keating?
Oh, yes, of course.
Until tomorrow, sir.
Here you are, my dear. I remembered.
Yes, you did, my love. Thank you.
And did you notice that you have a new fan?
Huh?
I knew he was a creep. What a sicko, stealing flowers from a grave.
Oh, I don't know what to think, Bran. Here I thought he was so nice and so polite and good-looking. But this...
When are you going to tell him?
Tell him what?
That you're dumping him, of course. That he's out of the picture for good.
Oh, I guess you're right, Bran. I really should tell him, but...
But it might be safer if you just don't contact him at all. He might be some sociopathetic serial killer. You're lucky you got away with your life.
I don't think he's that crazy, Bran. I mean, he was always so gentle and considerate.
Oh, that's the way they always are. I've seen the movies. Like that one where this guy was so sweet and nice, and then he drugs you and takes you back to your very own house and runs a bath for you before he kills you?
Well, I kind of think you'd notice if he brought me back here and ran a bath, don't you think?
Well, yeah. But I didn't mean he'd be exactly the same as the movie. It's just that you've got to watch the nice ones twice as hard as you have to watch the jerks.
Oh, I don't know, Bran. I just can't believe he's a killer. I mean, wouldn't it be the simplest answer that he just doesn't have the money and came up with this idea to get me free flowers?
A sick idea, Lisa. A really sick idea.
Oh, I guess you're right. And at the very least, he doesn't show respect.
And they're stolen. Come to think of it, he may just be a little stupid. I mean, you were bound to find out eventually, 'cause you did!
I know, and it makes me so uncomfortable. It's creepy, like the Addams Family or something. You know that voice I heard? Maybe it was really Neva Thorndyke trying to tell me something.
Now, don't you go down that weirdness road, girlfriend.
No, you've got to admit it, though. I mean, the flowers and the dreams, I mean... There could be a real connection.
I'm admitting no such thing. Look, you're going to have to break up with him. You don't want to marry him and find out he's getting all your clothes from the funeral parlor.
I guess I should at least talk to him.
You should at least dump him is what you should do.
Well, we're supposed to meet up at the Hub tonight. I should go and talk to him. It's just all so unusual.
Unusual? Yeah, you could say that. Listen, why don't you start off by telling him?
So this is your secret source, Jimbo. You've got to be kidding. This is really creepy.
You're some kind of sick puppy, dude.
No, I'm not. I'm a smart, practical puppy. Thrifty.
You are totally messed up if you think stealing flowers is a good idea.
Well, maybe you're right, now that you put it that way. I was just trying to impress her and save some money at the same time. I don't want Lisa to think I'm a creep or a thief.
Duh. I'm starting to think you're creepy. You could get busted for this.
But who cares about them? I mean, what good are the flowers doing here, really? Nobody around to appreciate them. Do you see anybody?
That's not the point. You just don't steal flowers from someone's grave, Jim. You gotta show some respect. I mean, there's dead people here.
That's just my point. They're all dead. Just bones in the ground.
There might be ghosts.
There's no such thing as ghosts. But if there were, they wouldn't care about anything real. Look, this one's been buried for years. Do you think she cares about these flowers? She's dead, Bill. But maybe you're right about the creep factor. I don't want Lisa to, you know, I don't want Lisa to be disappointed.
She won't be disappointed if she doesn't expect them each time you see her.
Well, it'll be okay. Just one more time. I mean, we're already here. And no one's around. Time for the grab and dash. Got to keep ahead of those dead people, don't we? Woo!
That's so hilarious. You think I'm kidding? This is not a good idea, man. Not a good idea.
What? Mine!
Oh, my arm! What's got my arm?
Stop messing with me, man. Nothing's got your arm. This is so not funny.
Those are mine. How dare you? Give them back.
My arm. Help, Bill. Help me.
Cut it out, Jim.
My flowers. Give them back.
Don't you hear her? She's got my arm.
I don't hear anything, so just stop. Just stop. Let's just say I laughed and get out of here.
Let me go. Let me go. Please. Please. Please let me go.
Enough is enough, man. Get up off the grave and stop messing around.
Mine!
She's got my arm, Bill. She won't let go. It hurts. Help me.
I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. Just you resting with the air on that grave. Stop jerking me around already. You're freaking me out.
Give me back my flowers or I'll take you with me.
Please, please, please stop. Let me go. Please.
I'm out of here, Jim. You hear me? This is not funny. I am so gone.
I said give them back.
Here. Here. Keep your flowers.
Thank you.
Well, there's a table over there.
Well, let's grab it.
Lisa,
Jim,
I just had...
we need to talk.
You first.
Jim, look, I know. I figured it out. And I think it's sort of creepy.
Come on, Lisa, just tell me. You figured out what?
The flowers, Jim. I figured out where you get them.
The flowers?
Yes, I know where you get them, and I don't like it. And neither does Neva Thorndike.
Who?
You should read the tombstones when you steal flowers. Neva Thorndike. She came to my room to get the bouquet you stole.
Well, it's not really stealing. I mean, she came to your room?
Yes.
Her ghost came to your room?
Yes, her ghost to my room twice. Maybe once in the cemetery. And it is stealing, not to mention it's a really weird thing to do, giving me someone else's flowers, even if she is dead. In fact, especially if she's dead.
But Lisa, my heart was in the right...
What, in the right place? Yeah. Except it wasn't. She haunted me, Jim. She came to my room and threatened me.
Threatened you? She attacked me. When I was at the cemetery the other day, she tried to pull me into her grave.
What? You mean you saw her too?
Oh, felt her more like. She grabbed me and wouldn't let go. Scared me to death.
Oh, Jim.
Lisa, I'm really sorry. If I'd known what would happen, I never would have taken the flowers, much less given them to you. Believe me, I'll never do it again. It wouldn't be good for either of us.
Well, yeah, you've got that right.
Oh, you know what I mean, Lisa. Can't we just say I've paid for the flowers and let Neva and the whole thing be one of those stories we tell our grandchildren?
Our grandchildren?
Well, maybe not our grandchildren. But even so, I don't want us to break up. I know what I did was pretty dumb.
Yeah, dumb and creepy. Don't forget creepy.
Agreed. Dumb and creepy. And I'm really sorry.
Oh, I don't know, Jim. I mean, I do like you and all,
Come on, Lisa. I promise I'm not a weirdo. I really just wanted to impress you. I couldn't afford to buy you flowers, but... I'm done stealing from anyone, dead or alive, believe me.
Well, I do believe you, but you know, I'm not the only one who needs your apology. Brenda's pretty angry with you, too.
Brenda?
Yeah, my roomie, Brenda. She almost had me thinking you were a serial killer. She didn't even want me to meet you tonight.
So how can I make things right with her? Flowers?
Not funny, Jim.
Sorry. I'll apologize. Look, give me another chance, Lisa. I'll figure out some other way to win your heart.
Well, what did you have in mind?
Well, how do you feel about pizza?
Sure. Pizza, I think I can handle. But we're getting it at Vince's, right? Not some secret source?
No kidding. No more secret sources for me.
You've been listening to an American Radio Theater original production of Someone Else's Flowers, written by Kay Lutz. In the cast, you heard Mary Moore Campagna as Neva Thorndike, Ken Leese as Frederick Weston, Bob Perks as Larry Keating, Dan Schindler as Jim Talbot, Beverly Washburn as Lisa Thompson, Moki O'Reilly as Bill Fleming, and Beth Schlansky as Brenda Campbell. Someone Else's Flowers was produced and directed by Joy Jackson, engineered by Ron Ailey. Live sound effects were created by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music was provided by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com and by the most amazing Amanda Palmer at amandapalmer.net. I'm your announcer, Terry Elder, saying, even if you love the show, please don't give us flowers. This is ART, American Radio Theater. Listen to our podcasts and donate at www.americanradiotheater.org.
Let's listen to some music from the 1930s. These were all on the radio at various times.
The American Spirit March. With this theme, the Work Projects Administration introduces a transcribed program by the United States Army Band under the direction of Captain Thomas Darcy. Military music is always thrilling, but especially so when played by the Army's finest, the band you will now hear play the Zacatecas March. Thank you. Captain Darcy continues in a march tempo now as he directs his band in the American Fidelity March. While the band takes a short intermission, we will bring you a brief talk by Major General H.H. Arnold, Deputy Chief of Staff, United States Army. One of our pioneer Army aviators, General Arnold was, until recently, Chief of Air Corps, and is most familiar with the vast amount of work accomplished by the WPA for the flying forces of our Army and Navy. He will give you some of his observations. General Arnold.
The present world war has proved, and is proving beyond a doubt, that command of the air is essential in order to win modern battles. That is why our president has demanded an air corps second to none. There are four things that we must do to build up our air corps. We must get the airplanes. We must train pilots to fly them. We must secure the mechanics and other enlisted men to keep our airplanes in the air. And we must construct the bases from which to operate the planes. All these necessary activities must be synchronized. The balance between plane production, pilot, and mechanic training, and air base construction is difficult, but not impossible. So far as planes are concerned, we're beginning to get somewhere. In April, more than 1,400 military planes were produced in this country. That is a remarkable figure. But it is not enough. We must do still better, and we shall do better. Our pilot training schools turned out about 1,600 in 1939. Today, we are training them at a rate of 12,000 a year, and this rate we expect to boost up to 30,000. Our rate of training mechanics has also gone up from about 1,800 a year in 1939 to 45,000 now. And this figure we hope will be boosted still further to 100,000 by fall. The fourth necessity that I mentioned is the construction of bases. These bases are located at many strategic points throughout the United States and also beyond our continental shores. Some of our bases are merely fields where planes are serviced as they move from one locality to another. Others are fully equipped to house and feed our personnel, to repair and maintain our planes, and to provide the weather information that is necessary for successful operation of tactical units. And I want to take this opportunity right now to voice my appreciation of the help that the WPA has given to the Air Corps in constructing its bases. Some of the most important bases that the WPA has helped us to build are the ones at the four corners of the country: McCord Field in the state of Washington, March Field in California, the one at Bangor, Maine, and the MacDill Field in Florida. The WPA has also built or improved nearly 600 civilian landing fields. These fields are used by the Air Corps as auxiliary bases during maneuvers. Many of them also are being used in connection with airplane production and pilot training. In case of invasion, these fields would be used as auxiliary bases for actual military operations. The work that the WPA does for the Air Corps is helping us to get the airports we need, when we need them, and where we need them.
Thank you, General Arnold. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard General H.H. Arnold, Deputy Chief of Staff, United States Army, give his observations of some of the work of the WPA. The United States Army Band again comes to attention. Captain Darcy raises his baton, and we hear the melodic Babelage. For the concluding number of this brief band concert, Captain Darcy has chosen another stirring march, Pageant of Progress.
Thank you. The American Spirit March. And in the American Spirit, the Work Projects Administration presents a transcribed program by its Southern California Symphony Orchestra under the direction of James Sample. From Beethoven's Eighth Symphony comes our opening music. It's the second movement, the shortest symphonic movement in the Beethoven literature, and one of the most charming and graceful. The orchestra now turns to the works of Wilhelm Richard Wagner and plays for you the prelude to the third act of his most popular opera, Lohengrin. Thank you. We pause briefly in the musical portion of our program to bring you a short talk by Dr. William Fletcher Russell, Dean of Teachers College, Columbia University, and Director of the National Citizenship Education Program, a great patriotic project authorized by President Roosevelt and sponsored by the Department of Justice with WPA funds. Dr. Russell will tell you what this program will mean to America. Dr. Russell.
We found out last winter, greatly to our surprise, that there are 5 million persons living in the United States who are citizens or subjects of some foreign power. Furthermore, 1¾ million of these have applied for citizenship. That is, they've said they want to become citizens, and they've been told that they will need to pass an examination to show that they can speak English and that they understand our form of government and life. Now, 1¾ million of people to teach is a tremendous educational task. It is more than there are in all our colleges and universities. Our schools cannot take care of it. So the government in Washington has set up the National Education Citizenship Program, which is a combination of the forces of the Department of Justice and the Work Projects Administration. And this program has been instructed to help the states and cities to provide better teaching for non-citizens and foreign-born. The states and localities, the Department of Justice, and the WPA have done good work up till now in educating the non-citizens, but we wish to help them to do better work and to give it to more people. For better teaching and better understanding of our government and our way of life is needed now as never before. The dictators are on the march. They're trying to enslave all free people. Mussolini said it's either we or they. Hitler hates democracy. Over in Europe, there's a shooting war. Over here, there's a shouting war, and they're attacking us over the radio. They try to fool us. They try to deceive us. They hope to soften us up. Now, the only defense against a bad idea is a good idea. The only defense against a half-truth is the truth. The only defense against propaganda is education, and it is in education that democracies must place their trust. American citizenship is a precious gift that our fathers gave to us. They wanted a country like the USA. For it, they gave their lives. They pledged their fortunes and their sacred honor. We must take up this torch. We must hold it high. Native or foreign born, as American citizens, we must keep its flame burning brightly. This is the hope of the National Citizenship Education Program, and we bespeak the cooperation of all.
Thank you, Dr. Russell. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Dr. William Fletcher Russell, Director of the National Citizenship Education Program. We turn again to the Southern California WPA Symphony, directed by James Sample, and we hear them play the Negro Chant, a composition by the brilliant young American composer, Roderick White. Thank you.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please stop by our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and listen to some of our podcasts. We put up a new show every month. Also, stop by the old-time radio chat room at radiooutofthepast.org. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, a group of us gather to talk and play old-time radio shows. Hey, see you there!